Views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
And it's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's 5:06. That means it is time for Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. If you got a question, 303-632-4160 will get you on and get you connected. Or you can go over to charlestendell.com and find all the wonderful ways to connect to the show there. If you're on your mobile, and because this first segment is going to somewhat focus around fun mobile things that you might want to reconsider here in the state of Colorado, go to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. From the app, you can send me a text message, you can listen to past shows, you can check out the other people and the other personalities in the 1690 KDMT Denver's Money Talk lineup. So I bring up mobile because I was driving into the studio today and I was having a conversation with my wife. And the conversation, it became an adult conversation. Most of us have adult conversations with our significant other, and we don't think about what that means on the outside world. Some people do, some people don't. Some people don't really care, but, you know, and it wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't like we were sending nude pictures or anything like that. We were, you know, the innuendos were going back and forth, you know, and if you've got a significant other, you've probably done this yourself. You've probably sent some interesting information or some pictures or some fun stuff to your spouse. Well, that's commonly called sexting. Depending on how graphic you get and how deep into the conversation and how involved you can become, it's going to include videos, it could include pictures, it could include audio on your more modern devices. And it seems relatively harmless. Well, it gets kind of muddied. A couple of months ago, there was an incident here in Colorado at one of the high schools where it looked like there was this giant sexting ring where it was the athletes and various other people were trading these pictures amongst themselves as if it were like kind of a trading card thing. You know, hey, I've got that new Michael Jordan, I've got that new Scottie Pippen, you know, kind of trading the cards back and forth. And they were making comments and they were doing all these other wonderful things. Well, when this came to the attention of the school administrators, more so was brought to the attention of the school administrators by the parents of some of the students that were moving this all around, it gained some traction. It gained some problems. Some people took offense to this. Now, mostly because this is high schoolers, but, you know, we all know what we were doing in high school, right? There's hormones are racing. We're doing all these other wonderful things out there. We're talking about sex, and we're talking about all these different things and all these interactions. Well, fast forward to nowadays, where every teenager has a cell phone, and every teenager has a cell phone that's got a camera on it. And it terrifies me because my oldest daughter is 13, and while she is more mature than most 13-year-olds and knows, like I had a conversation with her the other day, and she said, and I was trying to get her to explain, what do you think is an inappropriate selfie? And she said flat out, Dad, it's a selfie that's anything from the neck down. You know, your selfies should all be from the neck up. And I was very proud of her for that. You know, I mean, her father... I am her father, so she knows that if she gets caught doing anything like that, what she believes to be her life will cease to exist as she knows it. So she'll, you know, no internet, no phone, no none of that. And, you know, I kind of miss the days where parents, when they grounded you, it just meant you weren't hanging out outside with your friends. Now you can hang out inside online with your friend that's in Cambodia, and that's kind of scary. But I bring it all up because not too long ago, a young man, 17 years old, in Louisiana, he received one of these messages, one of these pictures, one of these videos from a classmate of his. And she was doing, how do I put that, inappropriate things? What would you think, Donnie? What would be an appropriate way to describe that?
Adult
things? Adult things, okay. Okay, so she was doing adult things with her cell phone, and she was doing them, and she sent them to this high schooler. I think he's a senior. He's seven. He happened to be 17 years old, and he's a wrestler and a basketball player and all these other wonderful things, and he receives this message. Well, you know, they're teenagers. Things happen, right? So his response to her message is to send a adult message back. He sends a message back to her, and they exchange some messages. They talk a little bit. These two go to the same school. She's 16. He's 17. Right? Now, the parents right now, you're probably, you know, if you're like me, you're a little more conservative. You're thinking, you know, that's a little too young to be engaging in that. But think back to that. How old were you when you started actually having a conversation with other people, other than your parents, other than the sex ed teacher, about sex? When did you start having that conversation? Now we have kind of this perfect storm of hormones and technology where kids can send messages, they can talk to one another, they can engage with one another with little to no interaction from their parents. Parents aren't watching, they're not monitoring, they're not paying attention, or they just don't know how to do it, right? I've seen parents nowadays where the technology has gotten so advanced, it's gotten so secretive, it's gotten so crazy that even if the parents do look at your phone, they don't know where to look. And I'll give you some tips on how to fix that. But the story struck me because New York Daily News reporter Sean King brought it up about this being a racially motivated event. Well, girl texts guy with these pictures, guy texts back, police get involved, or correction, girl's parents see these messages. They see the information that's coming, they see the conversation that's blossoming between the two of them, and the parents get upset. So the parents go to the school, they go to the police, they go to the local law enforcement, and they press charges. Well, now this young man faces felony, child pornography, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, charges. Now, Sean King, again, from the New York Daily News, points out that, yes, the young man is black and the young woman is white, but that's a little bit of a gray area. It's on one side of the spectrum that I don't think we need to be worried about because these things happen. I'll finish up on this thought, but ask yourself, what have you sent on your phone? This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'll be right back.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
It's getting warm outside. Don't go into summer without calling Steel T to get your air conditioner working properly. Steel T is a family-owned business with over 50,000 satisfied customers. They're the largest factory-authorized carrier dealer and the only Hall of Fame winner in the state of Colorado. There are zero unresolved complaints with the Better Business Bureau in over 25 years of doing business. Right now, Steel T is offering a spring tune-up for $69, which is $139.95 value. The tune-up will restore your air conditioning unit to the manufacturer's specs, or they'll tell you why they can't. A properly functioning air conditioning unit can save up to 50% on your energy bill. Avoid emergency repairs when it's really hot. Call today, 303-761-WARM. That's 303-761-9276, or visit them at steelt.com. Call today, 303-761-WARM. That's 303-761-9276, or visit them at steelt.com.
Hi, my name is Greg, and I wanted to talk about alcohol treatment. There's a reason why it's difficult to stay quit, and it has nothing to do with character or willpower. It has everything to do with brain reward chemistry. Alcohol screws up the ability to produce sufficient dopamine, and any successful treatment has to fix that first. Go Sober restores the dopamine response. The process takes about 8 weeks. It involves medications and lifestyle changes. It costs about the same as a DUI with a much higher happier outlook. Take a look at their website at www.gosober.org or call 303-827-4837. They're nice people who understand the science of addiction and what to do about it. This is the last treatment you'll ever need.
If you or someone you love is ready to fight alcohol and get your life back on track, you owe it to yourself to include Go Sober in your battle plan.
Now, back to the Charles Tandel Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
And it's a party, apparently, on Hack on a Friday afternoon, because Donnie's in a playful party mood. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tandel Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you got a question or a comment or a concern, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. I'm talking about sexting. But if you want to get in, you want to get connected, you want to get involved in this conversation, and don't feel like calling, go to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can send me a text message. You can see the other personalities. You can listen to the old shows. You can listen to the podcast. Go over to charlestendell.com. You can get connected into the loop there. Send me an email, hacked@charlestendell.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn, on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast in case you miss these, because I put them out there. I post them up. I do the notes. And, you know, we like to know that people are actually listening. So get connected. While you're holding your phone, ask yourself this question. Have you sent any inappropriate or adult, air quote, adult pictures, photos, videos, or even text messages to anyone else on your phone? Do you have these things on your phone? Now, for you teenagers out there, and I hopefully, parents, if you're listening to this or you're interested in this, you hand this or you turn it on for your teenagers. If you're a teenager and you do this, have you sent it to anyone that might be below the age of 18? See, we live in a country that's interesting. If you do certain adult things, you get tried as an adult. If you do certain child things, you still might get tried as an adult. Well, in this particular case, again, New York Daily News reporter Sean King brought this to my attention, that it was that we had a young man who received a adult video from another student at his same high school, okay, and responded in kind. Now, high school students will be high school students. He got the message and sent one back. But now that same student got expelled from school, got arrested, and is now facing felony child pornography and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Yes, he's black, and yes, she's white, but did he by law commit these acts? Was he contributing to the delinquency of a minor? Did he send these pictures, or was he in possession of pictures from a minor, from someone under the age of 18, whether it was consented or not? Technically, yes. So should he go to jail? Should this be a blemish on his record? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Should the young lady be going to jail? Should she be facing charges with that? What do you think, Donnie?
I think she should get in trouble. She started it.
Well, I mean, regardless of who started it, they both kind of did it. And again, you know, when we were in high school, that was a conversation. Hey, do you like me? Circle yes or no.
Yeah, we couldn't even – there was no text messaging or picture message.
There wasn't any text or picture messaging in my high school. If you could figure out a way to text or picture message in my high school, you were so far ahead of the curve. It was unbelievable. I don't even think it was an idea when I was in school.
Yeah, no. We had Snake on our phones.
You had phones in school?
Yeah, like senior year, I guess, junior, senior year.
Oh, wow, man. I think the closest thing I had to any type of technology in school was a beeper. And I thought it was cool, right? I was like, oh, that's right. Check me out.
Beepers are cool.
Beepers are still cool. I might actually go back to a beeper to avoid.
Go down to the payphone to beep somebody.
All right. Run over there. I was like, I will respond to you in my own time. You know, send me the message. I'll respond to you in my own time. But so this whole incident, right? Young lady sends the message to the guy. The guy responds in the message. And this guy's he's got a really good record, right? He's a three-sport athlete. He's a pro, he's like a well-awarded, well-recognized wrestler. This man has his whole life ahead of him, his whole career ahead of him. He could get out of high school. He could get a scholarship. He could go off and do amazing things. But this one incident, thanks mostly in part to the internet, is going to make it so that this young man will forever be known as the sexting guy. Like, he'll always be known about that. Always. Now, whether it's he's being made an example of, or whether he crossed the line, I personally think they're going too far. If you look at this from an objective view, she started it. He responded to it. What charges are being brought against her? Donnie?
I just had another point. Is like, in the point of like underage you know, sending you through the juvenile process, so it's not, you're not getting the maximum adult, like, scary, you're an adult now sentence. You're, it's the juvenile thing. They're both underage.
It should be the juvenile thing. It should be the juvenile thing. But he went to jail. He spent the night in jail. His mother bailed him out. He got out of jail on some ridiculous amount of bond. I think it was like $15,000 or $20,000. He got out of jail, and now his mom's trying to scrounge together all of these funds to put together a legal defense for the young man. Because I think he's being tried as an adult. I think he's being approached as an adult. Now, this might seem a little distant because it's Louisiana, and, you know, everybody's like, Louisiana's crazy. Their laws are backwards, whatever, right? But it's not really the case, because in Colorado, you can actually be hit with a felony. Now, you can be hit with a felony, a mandatory sex offender registry. Your life, as you know it, is over if you get caught with something like this. In fact, they were actually trying to pass a bill not too long ago that would make the problems, that would make the ramifications for doing this even worse. And they got some pushback. Here, listen to this.
Colorado's teen sexting bill, currently working its way through the state legislature, is under fire from those who worry it'll do more harm than good. Police and prosecutors have asked for new laws to address teen sexting after a high-profile scandal at Canyon City High School last year. The bill would make sexting a misdemeanor for a juvenile to distribute, display, publish, or possess a sexually explicit image of a child, including themselves. As the law stands right now, teen sexting in Colorado is a felony that comes with a mandatory sex offender registration and a permanent criminal record. Opponents say the bill is too lenient and doesn't do enough to discourage sexting and protect victims, but supporters argue it will help rehabilitate teens who sext, as opposed to humiliate them and destroy their future with a felony conviction. If approved, the bill would take effect on July 1st.
Now, that was from the Denver Post. Right. And right now it's a felony. Right now it's a life-ending event. You're not getting a good job. Some cases you're not getting financial aid. Good luck working in a bank ever. Go ahead, Donnie.
The new landlords will check your criminal record and stuff.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Your apartment.
Landlords are checking your criminal record. You have to explain to your landlord. Yeah, I was 16 years old, and I sent that lady. That other girl, I don't even know if I could say this on the air. He sent her a Dick Cheney picture. Now, does that work? All right. So, I don't know. We've got on one hand, and Donnie's waving his hand, so that was like borderline. Like, I barely made that one. Okay. So, I don't know. We've got kids nowadays that are so involved in their technology. They're so attached to it. Like, my daughter, we had this grade thing where she couldn't have her phone back until she got her grades way up. And now she's a straight-A student, and the first thing she asks, Daddy, can I have my phone back? Well, why? Well, I want to get back on Instagram. Okay, what are you posting on Instagram? And that's when the conversation of what an inappropriate and appropriate selfie is. But we live now where kids, teenagers, young adults, people that are about to become 18 years of age or older, or are just starting off in their life, in their career, because I remember high school. Donnie, you remember high school, right? When it was that, like, if they ran out of Cheetos in the lunchroom, life was over, right? If the girl down the street or the girl in your class circled no or was more interested in the other guy in your crew and was dating him and you were sitting quietly, your world was over.
Exactly, because high school is a different world when you get out of it.
It's a whole different world, it should be geared to teach people, hey, you know, there's a lot bigger things going on out here. And, yeah, that playful banter, that flirting back and forth between the two, it's normal. It's normal. But now, in the age of the Internet, the things that you say on your phone, the things that you say that you think you're saying in private aren't so private anymore. Your parents can see it if they know what they're doing. Your ISP can definitely see it. You know, pick a three-letter government agency. If they really want it, they can get it. But this young man... So the young lady's parents, understandably, if I were her father and I had looked at her phone and I had seen these interactions going on, I would have lost it. My mind would have been blown. I would not have believed my little girl was doing these things, and I would have wanted somebody to blame. I would have wanted to walk over there and punch this kid in the face. I don't advocate violence, but dads out there, you understand, and you can you can empathize, if not sympathize, with the reaction of this little, of this young lady's parents. Now, in a perfect world, or at least in my household, after I got over the initial shock, I'm going to turn to her and say, what else have you been doing? What else did you send? How are you involved in this? Because the consequences of your actions are about to send a young man to jail, potentially prison. This young man, his life is over because you sent him this video. And you know what? I have an idea. I have a feeling that if this young lady does have both parents in the household, and if this young lady does have a solid relationship with her parents, and she was afraid that dad might be disappointed, that mom and dad might be disappointed, that she might adjust the story. And if you're just tuning in, this is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show in Denver's Money Talk 1690. The number 303-632-4160, or you can grab the app 1690 KDMT from your favorite app store, or go over to charlestendell.com, subscribe to the podcast, because this is going to be one that people are going to want to hear. And I want you all to hear. But empathizing with the parents, realizing in a world right now where what this little girl did is going to change this young man's life forever. Was he wrong? I really can't say. As a father, I know how I would react. As an outsider, I'm wondering, you know, they didn't think these consequences through. They didn't think of the actions. They don't know what's really going on, and all of the news stories and everything else don't release the young lady's information, because naturally they don't want her reputation being tarnished by this. So there's a question for you. Question for you today, brought to you by Cruisers Haircuts for Men in Monument, Colorado. Classic shaves, new styles, and free beer with your service. Check them out, cruisershaircuts.com, or check them out in their shop down in Monument. What would you do? How would you respond to seeing this kind of information? Would you think about the other guy? Would you think about what's about to happen to this kid? Would you ask the question? Where would you go with that? But it really brings to the light, to the surface, all of the crazy things that kids have access to these days. All of the technology, all of their ability to be able to do whatever they want, however they want. And because parents are either too busy or really don't fully understand the technology, they're going to miss it. The kids, I mean, think about all the things we did in high school. Yeah, hormones were nuts. And when I was a kid, I snuck out of windows. You know, I wasn't a horrible kid, but I did do some crazy things when I was a kid. And it's even back then, I didn't think forward to the consequences. And as we as parents, that's our job to pause for a minute and think, you know, you're not doing something smart here. The emotional reaction that came from these parents resulted in this young man's life ending. That's it. So this guy, from now on, he's going to be on a sex offender list. He's going to be a felon. He's going to have all these other issues that are going to come out as he grows into adulthood, hoping to move forward in his life. Talk about it a little bit more after this break. Don't go away. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Airport officials aren't reporting any major snafus that have plagued security checkpoints recently. One traveler who expected problems got to Detroit's airport 90 minutes early today, but needed just 15 to get through screening. The Transportation Security Administration says it's recently started deploying extra canine teams to the busiest airports to speed up screening. President Obama has laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns to honor the nation's war dead. Mr. Obama commemorated the more than 1 million people in U.S. history who have died serving the nation. He called for active support of families of the fallen. 2 years after a drought left it dry in places, the Brazos River is flooding low-lying areas of South Texas. If Fort Bend County near Houston. The river is expected to crest at just over 53 feet tomorrow, surpassing the level of a 1994 flood. This is SRN News.
Michael Bailey Law Office. Hard-working law. Real-world experience. Listen Sundays from 10:30 to 11 a.m. when Michael Bailey discusses how to preserve and pass on your personal legacy. Simple or complex planning. Michael Bailey can help you with answers about your estate planning. Michael Bailey Law. Sundays from 10:30 to 11 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk. KDMT 1690 a.m.
Financial words of wisdom with Market Wrap host Mo Ansari.
Staying out of the market is the most dangerous thing you can do for your financial future.
If you continue to spend like a drunken sailor, you're going to run out of money. That's the reality. This is not poker. This is your financial future.
It's helpful financial food for thought on your drive home with a host who tells it like it is. Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Weeknights at 6 on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
You keep wondering about refinancing options. You know rates are low, but don't know how to go about getting the best rate and best type of loan for your situation. What do you even need to get started? Wonder no more. Go to CherylAnswers.com. Cheryl of ALMC Mortgage has put together a checklist of what you need to know and frequently asked questions when it comes to your mortgage. Get answers. Go to CherylAnswers.com. CherylAnswers.com.
LMB number 1000-20432. NMLS number 266695. You can check the licensing status of your mortgage loan originator at dora.state.co.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Funny thing about that song, so it's really interesting that you picked that one. Did you pick that one on purpose, Donnie? Just at random, just randomly picked one. Well, the funny thing about most funny thing about that song is it's played in the movie Armageddon. And right at the part where I think that song shows up is where the dad played by Bruce Willis shows up to what's the kid's name? And anyway, the kid's in bed with his daughter.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. There you go. His name's AJ. He walks in and Liv Tyler.
Yeah, Liv Tyler.
Is in there. And dad comes in, he walks in the room, and he finds her bra, and she's like, what's going on here? He's got his golf club, so you know he's about to swing on someone. And then he pauses for a minute, and he pulls down the sheet, and Ben Affleck is there. His character's name is AJ. And he pauses, and he says, I'll be right back. And he runs off, and he grabs a shotgun, and he commences to chasing Ben Affleck around this oil rig. Right, and Liv Tyler is running behind him and saying, Daddy, don't kill him. Daddy, no, don't kill him. I love him. And he's like, I'm really going to kill you now. Right? And that's a natural reaction, don't you think? I mean, I don't care how old my daughter's going to get. My daughter's going to, all of my daughters, when they become dating age, which, by the way, isn't until they're 60, right? When they become dating age, it's going to turn into, yeah, I'm going to be that dad. I mean, I've already got it planned out in my head. I'm going to be the dad that shows up at every one of their high schools, regardless of the technology evolves or not. Like, I know they're going to be like, oh, you know, you mean you actually have to type on a keyboard? I'm going to show up at their school and be like, hi, I'm Jordan, Cora, Amira, or Jocelyn's dad, and this is what I do for a living. I will find you, and I will delete you. But is that reaction legal? Is that lawful? Is that a good idea? What does that do to the little boys? Now, again, little boys out there, I'm warning you. I know President Obama said his two words for any little boy that's chasing after his little girls is predator drone. Okay, I can reach into your pocket. I can find your fantasies, and I can tell your parents. So take your predator drone and go on with that one. But that's my emotional reaction. Now, if one of these little boys sends my little girl an adult communication, I'm going to react in the same kind of emotional way. But then I'm going to turn to, depending on which girl it is, I'm going to turn to them and ask them, what is this about? Let's have a conversation. And then I'm going to use it as an opportunity to turn it into the, you know how babies are made conversation. And I know that's uncomfortable coming from dad going to a little girl, right? So it might be rough to have there. But instead of jumping to a conclusion and sending this young man to prison unless he's actually done something wrong, I don't think that's a good idea. But I'll get off my soapbox on that one for just a second. If you're a parent and you're worried about your kids sexting or otherwise being involved in something like this, there are three ways you can stop this. Well, more than three. But the three easiest ways to stop this is, one, be involved. Be really involved. Not to the point where they hate you and not to the point where they feel you're smothering them. My internet age oldest daughter, she's grown up in an environment where, yeah, the internet has existed for her entire life. So she and I had a conversation early on when she started touching keyboards, when I took her to her first DEF CON, right? And I was very proud of her, you know, following in her father's footsteps, hacker one, hacker daughter, love it, right? But we had the conversation of, I'm going to let you do whatever it is that you feel you should be doing on the internet. But remember, I'm going to monitor you. I can see everything you're doing. I know everyone you're talking to. I know when you pick up your phone. I know when you put down your phone. I know where your phone is. I know where you are at all times. And that's the only way I will allow you to be online. And if you run into a situation, right, if you run into a situation where you don't feel you can handle it or I feel like I should approach you about it, I'll have a conversation with you. So there's one way. Be hyper involved. Not smothering. You're an adult. You know the technology. At least you kind of know the technology. Monitor them. Trust them, but monitor them. And have the conversation about what is and isn't appropriate to be doing on the internet. Two, if you don't know what they're doing on their mobile, on their tablet, on their computer, ask them. Sit down with them and have them walk you through how to use whatever app. When I gave my oldest daughter her phone, we went through the list of all the apps to install. I installed the Bible app so she would have somewhere to go and read and research and learn something and not conform to the craziness that is this world. And she went to installing Instagram and Snapchat. And she's got this music app where she can make – and they're really great. She makes these little music videos. And they're awesome. She's lip-singing, but they're amazing, right? And she and I sat there, and I watched her go through the steps of all of this. And she told me about how occasionally it's normal on Instagram to go ahead and delete your account and bring it back and all this other stuff. And she was happy because she and I sat there and had a conversation about what matters to her, and I wasn't being intrusive. She taught me how to use the apps on her phone. I know her passcode, and I can go and I can look at them at all times. There are those apps out there that do allow children to send pictures and text messages covertly. They look like a diary app or the one that's out there now that girls think they can get away with is there's this period tracking app. At least that's what it looks like on the surface. You punch in a pin code on it, and it becomes a messaging app. There's also a calculator app out there like that. Newsflash, if you're on an Android or an iPhone or any kind of modern phone after, I don't know, 2011, it came with a calculator built in. So if there's a random calculator installed on that device, you should probably take a look at it and have your youngster tell you more information about that particular app. So there's two. Okay, spend time learning the apps that they have and keep an eye out for malicious or for crazy, scary little apps that might give them the ability to do something that you don't want them to do. And lastly, and maybe this is the biggest one of them all, develop a relationship with your child and maintain your composure if they do something crazy. If they do something that shocks you, if they're sending adult pictures to one of their friends and that friend is sending adult pictures to them, yeah, dads out there, I know what you're going to do because I'm going to do it. Immediately you're going to get angry, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get upset, you're going to want to chop the little boy's head clean off. But don't do that. Especially if this is a little girl. And you know, it's interesting because my parents tried to keep me, you know, on the straight path, tried to keep me away from girls when I was a kid, and that's how I ended up going nuts. That's how I ended up chasing all of these girls. Because my parents said, "Don't do it." It's kind of how I ended up as a hacker. My father brought home our first computer, said, "Don't touch it." And I was all over it like a fat kid on a cupcake. So don't freak out. keep your composure, have the conversation, and realize that that instant reaction could have ramifications on somebody's life for the rest of their life. Talk to your kids. Know what they're using on their phone. Have them teach you about the apps that you might not know how to use. And keep your composure if something like this happens. And then you can avoid sending somebody else's kid to jail. So I'll get off of that one for a minute. If you got questions, comments, this is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Number here, 303-632-4160, 303-632-4160. Or in your favorite app store, the 1690 KDMT app, you can send me a text message. Please don't send me any adult pictures, because if you do, I'm going to forward them all to Donnie. And then I'm going to freak out on Donnie and call the police. It's all Donnie's fault. Download the app. Send me a text. Send me a message. Check out the older shows. Check out the other personalities on the 1690 KDMT lineup and see what else you like. We got Connect and Collaborate. We got all kinds of great stuff. So check it out. Go over there. Or go over to charlestendell.com. Fill out one of the forms. Or subscribe to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast. Listen to the show at any point in time, anywhere, how you want to do it, whenever you want to do it. And stay connected. Send me an email, hacked@charlestendell.com, or give me a call, 303-632-4160. So let's change gears a little bit. And I know going from sexting to this is going to be maybe a little bit of a switch, but maybe not so much about people doing inappropriate things with their mobile phones or their communications. We'll call it that. People doing inappropriate things with their communications. So Hillary Clinton is back in the news again. Not necessarily back in the news. She is the topic of conversation because of the use of her email server. Before we go too far, let me explain to you a little bit about how email servers or email in general works in a classified environment, in a secure environment. Information is transmitted from one machine to another one using what's called encryption. And the encryption makes it so that the only people who can really read what was in that email is the person sending it and the person receiving it. Now, using things like that, and it's available. I've seen it in everywhere from major enterprises to when I spent my time working in the public sector, there's a button. But we'll get back to that and more after this break. Don't go away. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'll be right back.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-273-0135. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-273-0135 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-273-0135 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-273-0135.
As the school year draws to a close, so many parents are wondering how they will help their kids occupy their time without the influence of TV, video games, and the internet. This year, STEM Scouts is proud to partner with Colorado Adventure Point to provide a STEM Adventure Academy to all girls and boys in grades 1 through 8. For a limited time, our chief bargain hunter is featuring a half-priced camper tuition to the STEM Scouts Adventure Camp, located right here in Denver. This camp is a week-long day camp that combines classes that will teach your child practical application of scientific concepts with age-appropriate activities. But it's not all classroom time. With STEM Scouts, campers will also enjoy rock climbing, archery, and more in their 20,000-square-foot Colorado Adventure Point facility. Camp tuitions available are for any 1st through 8th grade girl or boy. To purchase, visit summercampbargains.com or just click the Bargain Hunter link on 710knus.com or krks.com. Again, that's summercampbargains.com. Summer Camp
snapbargains.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tandel Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Every time I hear that song, I think, Johnny, give me more cowbell. I need it. Welcome back. This is Hack, the Charles Tandel Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I just finished a rant. I guess it's a rant. It could be classified. Was that a rant? Donnie, was that a rant? Donnie's nodding his head. Yeah, that was a rant. That was a bit of a rant. I apologize. That was a bit of a rant. I mean, it's a sensitive subject for me because I have little girls and a little boy, right? My prince is going to grow up, and he's going to be shouldering the family line, and he's going to be taking care of things. So it does strike a sensitive chord. I mean, Donnie, do you have kids?
Nope.
Good luck. Hopefully one day you don't run into this problem.
No, I'm scared of you and Casey just have girls. I'm like,
right? I can only imagine what Casey's gonna go through. He's got two beautiful little girls, you know. And I know Casey. He's gonna pause for a minute. He's gonna say, "Lord, help me. I really don't want to beat this child because this little boy has gone overboard." But you know, again, like I said in my rant, don't go overboard.
Casey does it to his nephew, like his niece's boyfriend.
Like his niece. Well, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Like that's that scene from Bad Boys where the uncle shows up at the door. Who are you? You know, and I'm totally going to enlist all of my friends to do that. I'm going to make sure that the night that that little boy shows up at my house to pick up one of my girls for the prom or for their first date, and they're so super excited, I'm going to show up and I'm going to grill him. Because that's just what we're supposed to do as dads, right? But I'm not going to mean him any ill will, and I'm not going to mean him any harm, you know. But if he crosses the line, I'll cross the line right back. But be respectful of the young man's future. I'm not going to end it for him. But rant aside, right before the break, I teased it a little bit. Hillary Clinton's back in the news. Not back so much, but more along the lines of her email server has become questioned again. This time, it's questioned by the former Defense Secretary, Bob Gates. He went on television and he told, Yahoo, that he questioned Hillary's judgment because she used her own private email server. But understand that in these particular types of environments, there are particular ways that they want you to use email. They want you to use it in a classified environment. They want you to use it in a secure way that doesn't result in a Bradley Manning or an Edward Snowden happening where stuff's just getting leaked. They don't want that to happen. Understandably so, they don't want their secrets in an environment where it can be easily compromised. Now, Guccifer may put egg on her face. That hacker from, it was 2013, 2012, got into an AIDS email account, and this is how the first existence of her personal email server came about. That guy has since been extradited back to the United States, slapped with a gag order, did his debut as 15 Minutes of Fame on Fox News, where he told everything but said absolutely nothing. And now we're back to Hillary Clinton's email and her judgment. Well, let's ask the question. Did she go through the appropriate security mechanisms to be able to control this server? I have some information. I have some stuff that was put out there. I know bits and pieces of the facts. But here, let's listen to what Bob Gates had to say about that. Go ahead, Don.
I want to go back to Libby in a second, but first, the email controversy. Do you think that was a major error in judgment or a relatively small mistake? Sounds to you think the former.
I don't know what originally prompted her to think that was a good idea. I never used email for official business, either as CIA director or as Secretary of Defense. I was afraid somebody would send me an email saying, if I don't hear back from you in 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to go do X, and I'd be in a five-hour hearing on the Hill. I'd come back, find some government overthrown or something. So I just never used email for business. And so... using an offline server, I think was an error in judgment.
Now, he says that using an offline server was an error in judgment. Okay, let's go over how far of an error in judgment this is. Most people right now have jobs. Everybody's got their corporate email. They've got their business email. They've got their @companyx.com email address. Inside that email, you talk to people inside your company, you talk to customers, you talk to potential customers, you talk to investors, you talk to all kinds of people that have sensitive information, sensitive business information in their email. I mean, I've seen all kinds of great stuff during forensic cases. I've seen everything from secret recipes all the way up to I'm going to joke, but not necessarily nuclear launch codes, or the idea, or the build data, or how anything like that, software. And people go to great lengths to protect these things. This is why they have at companydomain.com, as opposed to Yahoo or Google.com, so that the company can keep positive control of all of that data. Well, Hillary Clinton decided, I don't want to have to go through all of that red tape. For whatever reason, I think the excuse that she used was, I want to be able to carry this, and they don't want to let me do that. I want to be able to have my email on my phone, and they don't want to let me do that. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's changed since my time in the Army, or dealing with three-letter government agencies, right, or the Air Force, or anybody. BlackBerry is a thing, and BlackBerry was pretty well encrypted and was pretty well secure and was a relatively good way to get connected to your email. Well, that wasn't good enough for Hillary Clinton. So Hillary had an aide who didn't have a whole lot of tech background, who didn't really understand security, who really didn't understand how it all worked, put together and build her a private email server. Now, where the location of the servers in different places, and I can't speak to how it was in her home or how it was over at Platte River Networks, but I can tell you that this server, for the first portion of his existence, existed without zero encryption. And like I said before we went to the break, encryption is the tool that allows only the sender and receiver to be able to read whatever's in it in clear text. Now, the server host could potentially read it. The people who host that server, in this particular case, if it were a DOD or a government server, they would be able to do it. And there are regulations. There are standards in place that require her to have that information available to other people. She chose not to do it. So she put up her own server and made a huge mistake. She was not only not using encryption to send and receive email, she was not using encryption to connect to the server. And these are two totally separate things. When I send an email, like if I were to send Donnie an email, right? If I were to send him an email, it's in clear text. All he has to do is look at it on his phone or look at it on the computer, and it's there. But if I wanted to be mean and torture him, I could send him an encrypted email, and he'd spend the rest of the day trying to figure out what's going on. And eventually, Donnie, I think you'd probably quit. You'd probably be like, I'm not dealing with you, Charles.
That sounds good. Just don't – I'm staying on your good side.
Oh, okay. Well, stay on my good side. That's good. I'll send it to everybody else except Donnie. I'll send the keys to Donnie. But the encryption behind the email and the message that you send, that's one thing, to keep other people from snooping on it. But the encryption between your device, like when you pick up your device right now, when you pick up your phone or your laptop or anything like that, and you connect to your company – email server, there's encryption. And this is a basic feature. This is normal. This is stuff that everybody has, right? This is stuff that is so normal that like mom and pop shops around the world use it. But, you know, most people opt out of these things. So her aide, for whatever reason, chose not to use that level of encryption. And for months, it ran this way. So every time she connected to the server, it was unencrypted. It was insecure. There was a potential there for someone to siphon off information. If she were at a Starbucks connecting via Wi-Fi, I could suck down the email that she was sending or receiving. Marinate on that for a minute. If she was in a public place, if she was in an airport, and all of us do it, nobody thinks about, you know, I'm in an airport, I should probably connect to a VPN first. Newsflash, connect to the VPN and stay connected. Every time you connect to a new network, make sure you have a VPN or a virtual private network connected that encrypts and secures your traffic. But think about that. She could have been in an airport. She could have been flying on Clinton One, whatever their airplane is called. She could have been going to any of these events where she stayed in any of these hotels, connected to the hotel Wi-Fi, and a bad guy could have been sitting there sucking down her email. So beyond just that part of the connection, she didn't have, at least not to my knowledge, encryption for the content of that email. So there was no PGP. There was no data security. So everything that she sent, whether it was classified or unclassified, was sent to and from her machine, to and from this server, to and from whomever was getting it, in clear text, as demonstrated by Guccifer, who hit her aide and found out about her email and found out all the other information, all the other things that could potentially be on that server. Guccifer gets extradited. He gets hit with a gag order. You can't talk. we're not, we don't want you to have any information put out there about this particular thing. Okay. So what's there? Now, the thing comes down, was this just her way of Clintonizing a system? Therefore, she really did nothing wrong? Or was she trying to purposely hide something? Does it matter? Did she put the country's secrets at risk by having her own personal server? Did she put something there that would incriminate her? Does this count as criminal negligence? Or I don't even know what the next term would be. You purposely tried to circumvent standards and security mechanisms. Now, I used to be one of those people that would say if she took her server and she had encryption on it, if the server itself, the physical server itself, was encrypted and somebody physically stole it, that's a security mechanism. If she could actually demonstrate or prove or show or even came out and said that, hey, look, we had this level of security on this server, whether she knows what it is or not, go get that aide, go get the IT people and have them come to you and say, look, we're certified in this. We use this level of encryption. We use these kinds of hard drives. We change passwords at this point in time. You know, if she could just go through and step by step, one line at a time, what it is that she did for security, maybe this is a non-issue. Maybe she took further steps than the government did. But then you look at Guccifer, who got into her aide's email by guessing the password. And as he liked to put it, it was easy. Everyone can do it. It's easy for everyone. Everyone can do this. So I don't know. I mean, in one hand, you've got Hillary, who's doing what Hillary does. On the other hand, we've got and it caused a breach. It caused a breach. The very discovery of her email was caused by a breach, by a breakdown in security that resulted in information being divulged. And then when she got caught, she said, well, I don't want to turn over the server because there's personal information on the server. And then when she finally turned it over, she wiped the server. So somebody tell me. This is Hack the Charles Tindall Show, 303-632-4160. I only got a couple minutes left, and there's been something that's been bugging me, and it's not a tech topic. It's not a tech topic at all. So if you're listening and you're worried about tech, you can turn this one off for like the last minute of the show. So I've been having this ongoing battle with American Airlines. Okay, I've been treated, for lack of a better term, unfairly, in my opinion. And I reached out to them and said, hey, guys, help me. Your insurance company isn't working with me. Now, what happened was I'm usually not the guy that buys the insurance. I don't buy the travel insurance because I don't feel that my plans change as often as they do. Well, my wife encouraged me to do that, and we did. We bought the travel insurance. We went all about the travel insurance. I don't remember how much it was, and it didn't really matter at the time. Well, my travel plans changed recently, and the whole point of the travel insurance is so that you can change them without having to pay the uptick or having to be penalized for it. Well, we called them and said, hey, my plans are changing. Can we use the insurance? And they told me flat out no. That the only way that the insurance's purpose is to file a claim, maybe, kind of, sort of, probably not, get your money back and get another ticket, or buy another ticket and get your money back. So as you can imagine, I'm upset. Now, this isn't the first time that I feel like I was treated unfairly by American Airlines. This isn't the first time that I've had a problem with them. I mean, there was another time where the guy, I won't say whether it had anything to do with what I look like, but it felt that way. He looked at me and said, I'm not going to help you. But you know what? I'm out of time, and this was a good rant, and I feel a little better about this. Join me next week on Hacked, the Charles Tindall Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690, where we're going to talk about all kinds of crazy stuff next week. Probably going to do more on Hillary. Probably definitely going to talk about Anonymous and how they're dealing with things. But don't miss it. Hacked. See you next week.